In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Your family, I have a couple things. First, I have great news to share. From now on, Bishop Callahan has given us permission to have public masses during the week, not just on the weekends, but during the week. So we no longer have to have a restriction, apart from 25%, at daily Holy Mass. So glory be to God. This is now the 22nd time I have praised Bishop Callahan for his courage, his leadership, his understanding that we are essential. The holy sacrifice of the Mass is essential. Reception of the Holy Eucharist is essential. Reception of the sacraments is essential. Oh, glory be to God. Bishop Callahan has always been on our side, which cannot be, whether they like to hear it or not, said about so many other shepherds. Thank you, Bishop Callahan. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I did have a couple people remind me of that topic I wanted to discuss. The enemy of my enemy is my friend, but I'm so frustrated. I could have used another 4 hours to even begin the topic I want to discuss today, to share with you, to meditate upon today, which would have included that. And unfortunately, even as you saw, we started later than usual. And so that's going to have maybe tomorrow. But anyway, thank you to the couple who reminded me. Dear family, in the psalm response we prayed today, 5 times, thusly, the judgments of the Lord are true, and all of them just. But family, today's meditation is on what does our Lord think about racism? If his judgments are true and they're just, then we ought to ponder, what does he think about racism? And this meditation should probably make a lot of people uncomfortable, because we're going to address a few facts, not feelings, on racism. And of course, it is an important theological topic to ponder. It's not politics, because we're hearing a lot about racism in our country. And the truth of facts that contradict the mainstream media's narrative, I could say left-wing mainstream media, because that's more applicable, more true. The truth of facts is going to enrage a certain chunk of people, culpably low-information people, I would say. Fact. We know Almighty God is not racist, because he created races. He created races of people, every one of which are made in his image and likeness. Thus, all people bear the image of Almighty God, their creator, which certainly explains why, upon looking at his created humanity, Almighty God looked at the people and saw that his creation was not just good, but very good. Thus, every person of every race should be enraged that people in government positions took God out of government schools. Because if God and God's creation of all races actually was taught in government schools, then all students in all government schools would be inculcated with the truth of creation in God's image and likeness, and they would look at everybody else, every other kid, as a brother and as a sister in Christ. The government pagans, that we allowed them to take God out of the schools. Is it any wonder then what we're seeing today has happened? How much the world would improve if creation and the creation of all God's children made in his image and likeness were taught again in government schools, as they were for the first 170, 80 years of our society, of our nation. Is it any wonder now that people think there's this systemic racism? There certainly is systemic anti-Catholicism that has been there since the very beginning and foundation of our nation. Now there's getting to be this systemic anti-Christianity, anti-God. We're hearing a lot about systemic racism. Well, who could disagree that if there was such a thing as systemic racism, that that would be a very bad thing? Nobody would disagree. But that term, systemic racism, like the term white privilege, which keeps getting thrown out there again and again and again, it defies explanation. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be explained. Let's just use these little buzzwords because they sound like important. As Hitler's propaganda chief put it so well, if you tell a big lie often enough, people no longer will question it and will begin to accept it as true. And then you can use that buzzword for any purpose. What does systemic racism even mean? Have you heard even one single person who flippantly uses that phrase give a factual, statistically accurate, factual cause of what is claimed to be systemic racism? No. No, nothing about causes. We hear a lot about symptoms. Well, there's a disproportionate amount of incarceration of blacks. We don't hear them give the concomitant associated fact that there's a disproportionate amount of crimes committed by blacks. Regardless, when we hear stuff like that, let us discern that what we are hearing is a lot about symptoms of the cause, but nothing about the real cause. In fact, ever since George Floyd was canonized by the left-wing media, I have yet to hear anyone say much of anything about Almighty God. And that is significant. That is a significant deficiency given the psalm we pray today. The judgments of the Lord are true, and all of them are just. The judgments of our Lord, of our God Almighty, creator of all things. When I read that psalm part today, the judgments of the Lord are true and all of them unjust, last night when I was pondering sacred scripture, upon reading those words, my mind immediately went to a speech made by one of our country's greatest, Abraham Lincoln. As you know, that is the benefit, of making the sacrifices it takes to get a good education. One develops a wealth of information stored up here upon which one can draw throughout one's life. That's why memorization of even such things as our Catholic prayers is so important, because they're right there at the ready. I've told you this story before. It's so phenomenal. When you go to, as a priest, when you go to visit someone who's had the onset of dementia, they might not remember that you were there the day before. But if you say, "Let us pray," start praying the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, it just flows out because it's in there. That's what education does for us. That's what being steeped in our faith does for us. It'll be there when we need it the most. So there is a benefit of making the sacrifices it takes to get a good education. One develops a wealth of information stored up here upon which we can draw. And when I say sacrifices, I mean a whole lot more than just, the dollar amount. I know my parents worked very hard and sacrificed greatly so that we could be sent to a Catholic grade school. It's more than that. It's more than just the dollar amount. I mean that each and every person in this country has the privilege of going to school. It has the freedom to choose whether to sacrifice personal fun time for a little personal study time. They have the freedom to choose whether to sacrifice personal fun time for a little personal study time, knowing that in the end, as they get older, that personal study time will reap benefits. You will reap what you sow, as sacred scripture tells us. We'll be educated so we don't grow up to be ignoramuses who don't know grammar and syntax, something so simple as that. We cannot speak the English language nor string together words to formulate an intelligible sentence or logical thought processes, and consequently left without the capacity to communicate with intelligence, we rage on about our feelings instead of discussing facts. That's important to understand precisely because the judgments of the Lord are true and all of them are just. And one of the judgments that our Lord is going to make is a judgment whether we made use of the gifts he has given us in terms of developing our brains. It's a talent. It's a gift. What are we doing with it? Through personal sacrifice, through effort, hard effort and endeavor, we can aspire to intelligence, aspire to the highest level of humanity. That's what differentiates us from the animals. We have a brain in our head. I told you that joke that sometimes my parents would say to me when I was younger, quit acting like you don't have a brain in your head. We have a brain in our head. We're supposed to use it. We're supposed to develop it. We're supposed to develop it so we can speak intelligently about even distressing issues instead of running for a box of Crayolas into some artificial created safe space. Well, I tell you, just a year ago when I was at UWSB and I kept hearing about all this safe space, and God gave us the gift of our brains and he expects us to use them. So if we show up to his kingdom empty-handed because we de facto buried our brains in the backyard, just like that useless servant in Jesus's parable, it will not go well for us on judgment day, precisely because, and again to quote Lincoln's quote about sacred scripture, the judgments of the Lord are true and all of them are just. Your family education does not happen by accident. This is obvious from listening to about 2 minutes of the news and listening to some low information rogues and renegades looting and burning our cities. You've heard the way they speak. So all citizens should find themselves a great school, a great faith-oriented school, because we're meditating upon how the government schools are useless because they've taken God and creation out of the schools. We're not permitted to have prayer in reference to Almighty God. So consequently, we're not inculcating our children with the idea of creation, where we're all created, all races, colors, creeds, tongues, in God's image. Find a great school, a great faith-oriented school, even a great classical education school like Providence Academy right next door. I've been over there. I've seen them. I've seen the little first graders memorizing the catechism that would teach, if every school would do it, that would teach that we're all God's children, and there is no room for racism. Make the sacrifices necessary so that the student comes out educated, so that when the student reads today's psalm, the student's mind instantly goes, as did mine, to Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, which is so pertinent to the civil unrest today. Remember, we just prayed the psalm, the judgments of the Lord are true and all of them just. Upon reading that, my mind immediately went to Lincoln's second inaugural address when he was reflecting on the bloody Civil War. Quote, "Finally do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away." I like the way he even rhymed that there. We pray that it passes away. But watch, yet, if God wills that it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, till all the wealth accumulated at the hands of slaves shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword. He's talking about death in war. As was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Well, as we continue to see, sadly, left-wing mainstream media fails to tell the truth, even as statues of Abraham Lincoln are under attack. Who could find fault with Lincoln? Here's a couple facts. At the start of Civil War, they conveniently ignore this, only about 1.4% of Americans owned slaves. That means that 98.6% did not own slaves. And this is interesting. I didn't know this. I just found out this morning. About 3,000 black Americans owned about 20,000 slaves. Isn't that something? Never hear that. In 1860, at the start of the Civil War, there were 3,953,762 slaves. There's our census for us. Essentially, 100% of the slaves in this country were owned by Southern Democrats. My understanding is that not one Republican owned a single slave, but even if a few did, that's considerably less than pretty much the rest of the 100% of Southern Democrats that owned the slaves. And let's get this straight. It's something you never hear. Over 360,000 white men from the North died fighting in the Civil War, which is about 100,000 more than died in the South. And as Abraham Lincoln's words so clearly reflect, it actually was a war fought largely to eliminate the scourge of slavery. So hear that number again. Over 360,000 white men died fighting to free the slaves. In contrast, keep that number in mind, 360,000 white men died in the North fighting for freedom of slaves. In contrast, I just got this from the NCAA website this morning, because it sounds like a crime so terrible that even saying the word should make each of us sick. But I just got this from the NCAA website this morning. It regards lynching, because there is a huge emphasis on the evil of it, as there should be. I got this right from their own website. From 1882 to 1968, so we're talking a period of 86 years, there were 4,743 lynchings in the United States. Of those, 3,446 were black, and I did not know this, but 1,297 were white. And the top three causes for these lynchings, homicides and rapes, were behind it all. So it was capital punishment, carried out by a mob, never a good thing. But any such thing is terrible. One is terrible. But how quickly we ignore that in comparison to 3,446 lynchings over a period of 86 years, how quickly we ignore the fact that 3,000 blacks also owned 20,000 slaves, and that 360,000, compare 3,446 to 360,000 white men who died to end slavery. We never hear about that. Well, I ran out of time to add to this study on racism and realize I've not even scratched the surface. But let us today realize that it is something we all should study honestly, that there should be an honest presentation of facts, that we shouldn't rely on left-wing media buzzwords like systemic racism or white privilege. Instead, let us be educated in fact so that we can discuss it intelligently with truth. And precisely we should do this because precisely as Abraham Lincoln pointed out by quoting sacred scripture, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Let's be sure ours are, or we strive for it as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.